Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinalam, the most happening place on the planet. Yes, today is December 21st, 2017 and just a few days to go for the joyful, beautiful, delightful and colorful celebrations of Christmas in Prashantinalam. The ashram is already full. You should be there for the bhajan sessions in the ashram in these days. The way the crowd joins in, wow, it's huge. You are just uplifted with a surge of devotional energy and fervor. You are floating in bliss, lost in singing, lost thinking of him, lost becoming one with him. Christmas in Prashantinalam truly is something else. The other day I met a couple from United Kingdom and as I was talking to them, I realized that they have spent every Christmas in Prashantinalam for the last 7 years. And there are so many like them who have done this for the last 10 years, 20 years or more. In the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, we'll bring you some of their stories. But today we are going to discuss something else. One word that immediately strikes when you hear the word Christmas is joy, isn't it? For everyone, everywhere, it's a time of happiness and enjoyment. There are holidays, children are back home, family gets together, and yes, there are lots of gifts and goodies, fun and frolic, enjoyment and merriment. Christmas comes and we enjoy. Yes, we are joyous. We enjoy and different people enjoy differently. And as I was thinking about it, it just occurred to me that this enjoyment that happens, it happens at various levels, isn't it? I could think of 4 levels. So what are these levels of enjoyment? And how to enjoy to the fullest during this Christmas or any occasion for that matter? How to enjoy? What is the way we can enjoy to the maximum as Christmas comes closer and closer to us? So that's what we are going to discuss today in this episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside.
Embodiments of love.
Shanti ni lopala unnadi kaani bayata ledu.
Peace is within, not outside.
Outside no peace, only pieces.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu and yes, we are now going to talk about the joy that we enjoy during Christmas or any such celebration that is beautiful like Christmas, like the New Year, like Deepavali, Holi. So what generally happens during the celebrations is we get a lot of gifts, isn't it? There are a lot of gifts coming, new clothes, new gadgets, some expected, some unexpected surprises. We receive these gifts from near and dear ones and sometimes even from unknown people. And when we receive them, we are happy. We enjoy getting all these gifts. So I receive and I'm happy. I enjoy, isn't it? In 2016, an average American had spent nearly $1,000 on holiday gifts. On Christmas alone, people in the US last year have spent an average of $900. In Indian rupees, it is something like 57,000 rupees. So that's quite a lot of money that is spent only on gifts. So we receive these gifts and we are happy, we enjoy. And new gifts, gift fills us with new joy, especially with the children. They look forward to what they're going to get, of course. They sometimes even specify what they want and they wait for the Santa to come and give them their heart's desire. And then once they get there, they are on top of the world. So we receive and we are happy. In fact, when you think about this a little deeper, this happens not only with our close relationships, with our family and friends, but it also happens with God too, isn't it? We want so many things from God and when we receive them, we are delighted. Our joy knows no bounds. I remember one instance which happened with Brother Amitabh Dasgupta, an alumnus of Bhagwan School and College in Prashantinilam. And he had shared this some time ago. This happened in the early 90s. Amitabh was then in his 12th grade, 12th class. And in those days, Swami used to interact with the students very frequently, almost on a daily basis. And often he would come to the hostel, sometimes to the school. And one thing that Swami used to ask all the boys to do is to talk less. Swami loved silence, and he told the boys that if they control their tongue, slowly they will be able to control their mind, and if they talk less, they will improve their power of concentration, their power of retention, they will increase their memory, they will do well in their exams and so on. It will save their energy, which could be channelized in many productive ways. So Swami also used to explain to the boys with an analogy and say that the body is like a pot and the mind is like the water in the pot. And Swami said, if the water is steady, then you can see the reflection of the sun. You can see the reflection on the water clearly. Similarly, if your mind is steady, Swami said, you can see the reflection of God in your mind. And once God reflects in your mind, you will have tremendous potential to do anything. You will have great powers within you that will get revealed, that will get unlocked. So all these things used to inspire so many students to practice silence, and they learnt how not to waste their energy. And when it came to Amitabh, now this boy was actually a big talker. And he was wondering whether he can really do this, whether he should do this. And one day Swami came directly to him and Swami said, Amitabh, you are talking too much. You have to keep quiet. Now this was not an easy thing to do. First of all, Amitabh was thinking that I have in fact reduced, because Swami keeps telling, so I have reduced my talking. But Swami still is telling me that I'm talking too much. And then Swami added and explained to him and said, you have to keep silent like the sages. It is not just keeping your mouth shut, it is keeping even your thoughts quiet. And Amitabh thought, oh my God, this is not going to be easy, because the urge to talk was so much. He found it really extremely difficult not to talk. Entire day, how can you not talk? And he was someone who was a very dynamic person. He was a sports person. He was good in academics. He was a dynamic. He was a very talented person. And he tried not to talk, but it was not easy. But somehow, he wanted to do it. But then he thought, you know, why should I do all this? I mean, I'm not going to become a sage or anything of that nature. I'm just an ordinary guy. Why should I do this? And then he said to Swami within himself, okay Swami, you are asking me to be silent. I will do this sincerely, but you know what? You should give me a reward. Why should I do this? You should reward me. And he thought, let me put an impossible demand for Swami. Something that doesn't happen normally. Something unthinkable. And he thought for a while and he said, Swami, I am going to keep quiet. I am going to not talk for the next 15 days. But at the end of it, you have to take me in your car. You have to give me a ride in your car. And he thought, wow, that is quite a thing. And he thought, it's not going to happen. There is 1% chance of if this was ever going to happen, because Swami never takes any school kid in his car. It's generally either the members of the trust or the Prime Minister or President or some Chief Minister. It is very, very important persons who travel with Swami in the car. Otherwise, there is no one generally in Swami's car. The driver and only the person who looks after Swami. And he thought, if this doesn't happen, then it's okay. You know, I don't have to take these things very seriously. And he didn't want to put a thing like Swami should give me a vibhuti or a padnamaskaram or a gift. He thought, because these things happen normally, so there's nothing special. He wanted a fairy tale kind of a reward. And so he put this challenge, he had this deal with Swami, and he said, but Swami, I'm going to be sincere. So from that day, he was completely quiet. He was trying to be like a sage, and everyone noticed that Amitabh had just become absolutely quiet. And 7 days passed, and it was time for Christmas. And in those days, one of the most special things that used to happen during Christmas is the darshan that Swami used to give early in the morning in the first floor of Cyclone Hall. Cyclone Hall had just come up then in the Prashantanilam Mandir. That used to be a silver door. It is still there above the stage in Cyclone Hall. And only on the morning of Christmas, Swami used to emerge through that door, and it used to be such a sublime, such an heavenly darshan. People would be standing down there holding candles and singing carols, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And the Lord would indeed come in white robe, silken white robe, such an angelic darshan. It was ethereal. Wow, Amitabh was there that morning and he saw that sight. He was in ecstasy, and he was so much overpowered by that darshan that when he came back to the hostel, he just could not control his joy. He was overflowing with happiness, and he just started talking to his classmates, to his friends, to the other brothers about that experience that he had that morning. He just started sharing that joy, and after he had done that for a few minutes, suddenly realized, oh my God, I shouldn't have spoken. I'm not supposed to be talking. I broke my deal with Swami. But then he said, okay, I mean, I didn't do it intentionally, it just happened. It was not something that happened consciously. And then he thought, what should I do? And he decided, okay, fine, you know, let me go back, you know, because this is something that I didn't intend to do, it just happened. And also, one other interesting thing that had happened was, he had started liking that silence that he had been experiencing for the last 7 days. Somehow he had begun to love that silence. There was a charm of its own, of just being quiet. He didn't want to be disturbed. And that peace, that serenity, somehow he had liked being that way. So he thought, you know, I will continue this for some more time. And he told Swami, whatever has happened, but I'm going to do this. And so another 7 days passed, and he was very quiet and he was enjoying his silence. And then came New Year, January 1st. And that is a very, very busy morning in Prashantanilayam. The students make a musical offering. And at that point in time, there was another classmate of Amitabh who was admitted in the hospital almost a week before. There were serious complications in his health, and Swami used to inquire about this boy every now and then. In fact, this boy also used to write letters to Swami, and Amitabh used to be the carrier for these letters. So every now and then he would bring these letters to Swami, and this boy, Pavan, who was in the hospital, he longed to see Swami on the New Year day. He wanted to be somehow there in Mandir. He was desperate, but the doctors wouldn't allow him to leave the hospital. He wrote letters to Swami, and that Swami even asked the doctors, can he come for darshan? And the doctor said, Swami's condition is not yet stable. It is not advisable for him to leave the hospital at this stage. And so Swami didn't know what to do, and this boy wrote again another letter to Swami, and Amitabh gave that letter to Swami, and in that he had written, Swami, please, please make it possible for me to come to Mandir. I want to see you on the New Year day. But just did not happen. The New Year morning program happened, and Amitabh was sitting there, and it was time for Swami to leave. Then suddenly Swami looked at Amitabh and Swami said, hey boy, go to the general hospital. And as he was about to get up and go, Swami said, go to the hospital and tell them that I am coming there. And Amitabh just walked out of the mandir and he sprinted like crazy. He was already an athletic chap, so probably he would have surpassed even Usain Bolt that day. He just zipped across to the hospital and he informed everyone there. And even before he could tell anyone, before anyone could make any arrangement to welcome Swami. Swami had already started, and within a minute or two, Swami was already in the hospital. And Amitabh was, just, he just managed to be there, and Swami was out of the car, and Swami looked at Amitabh, and Swami asked, "Where is Pawan?" And so Amitabh took Swami to the room where Pawan was there, and Swami went to him. Swami blessed him profusely. Swami created vibhuti, applied vibhuti on his chest. Interestingly, Pawan's parents also had come that morning. Swami blessed them also, and Pawan was, he was just simply crying. He couldn't believe this, that this was actually happening. Swami had actually come to see him on the New Year morning, when the whole world was in Sai Kulwant Hall to see him. The Lord had come all the way just so that he can see the Lord. And Swami spent 10 to 15 minutes with him. And as Swami was coming out, the doctors told Swami, "Swami, there is this little girl in this room. Can you please bless her too?" And Swami said, "Okay." And Swami went to that room too, and Swami blessed that little girl. And then there were some more patients in the ward. Swami blessed all of them on that New Year morning. It was such a pleasant surprise for all these patients in the hospital. And then as Swami was getting into the car, there was with Swami Mr. V.K. Narasimhan, the then editor of Sanatan Sarthi. Swami had brought him also along when he came to the hospital. So Swami looked at V.K. Narasimhan, sir, and Swami told him to get into the car, to sit in the front seat of the car. And then as Swami was getting in, Swami looked behind, and Amitabh was there following him, and Swami pointed to him and said, "Hey boy, you come and get into the car." And Amitabh thought that definitely he was not referring to him, because how can it be him, and how can he get into Swami's car? So probably he thought maybe there is some other elder around, maybe the director of the hospital or some other trustee is there. So he looked around, and Swami looked at him again and said, "No, you come, get into the car." And along with him there was another boy, Swami asked. So both of them, to their utter amazement, got into Swami's car. And now Swami told the driver, "Let's go to the super hospital, let's go for a drive." And Amitabh didn't know what was happening. He was so flabbergasted. He couldn't believe he was inside Swami's car. And then Swami started talking to him. Swami asked, "Oh boy, what is your name?" Imagine, now Swami is asking him, "What is your name?" after everything. And he said, "Swami, Amitabh." And Swami said, "Oh, Amitabh Bachchan." Swami said, "Oh, Amitabh Bachchan, I know Amitabh Bachchan. He had come to me when he had an accident while shooting that movie, Cooley." And Swami was just making the whole atmosphere so light, referring to that Bollywood actor. And so they went for a drive, and after 10-15 minutes, Swami was back, and then Swami dropped Amitabh and that other boy in the hostel, and Swami went quietly to the mandir. And only then it occurred to Amitabh, "Oh my God, this is what I had asked Swami for." Because when he was with Swami, his mind stopped working. It was too overwhelming for him to even think what was happening. And then he went to the hospital, he met Pawan, and he told Pawan, "You're so lucky, man. Swami came to see you all the way. How did it happen? I can't believe this." And Pawan said, "I was crying the whole night. The whole night he had not slept. He was crying, 'Swami, I want to see you. I want to see you.'" And the story does not end there. Then he went and saw that little girl, and that little girl said, since morning that day, that little girl was telling everyone in the hospital that Swami is going to come and see me. Why? Because Swami came early morning in my dream and said, "He will come and see me. He will come and see me." So the girl knew that Swami was coming. Pawan was hoping beyond hopes that Swami will come. And Amitabh never ever dreamt that this could happen. So with that one act of Swami, Swami was fulfilling the wishes of so many in such an amazing manner. And he made it look so normal, so natural. It almost as if because the doctors asked him to go to that room, he went there. Because the doctor asked him to go to the ward, he went there. But everything was so meticulously planned, and everything was happening according to the divine master plan. He was only answering the prayers of so many. And Amitabh's wish was fulfilled. He was confirmed in his faith, he was confirmed in his discipline, and he knew with Swami nothing is impossible. He asked and he received. He was happy. He enjoyed, isn't it? So I receive and I'm happy, I enjoy. In fact, Christmas reminds me also of Professor Kasturi, because the day when the Almighty Father sent His beloved Son to redeem mankind, He also chose the same day for the birth of another beautiful child of Him who was meant to write His story, who was supposed to sing His glory, Professor Kasturi. Kasturi Ranganath Sharma, that was his full name. He was also born on Christmas Day, and he came to Bhagwan sometime in 1946-47. And in those days, there's a very interesting incident that happened in his initial years when he was knowing Swami, when he was in like Amitabh testing Swami. So on one occasion, you know, Professor Kasturi heard that whenever people come to Baba and if they have rings which are made of gems, and Swami would take those rings and Swami would just blow on those rings and He would convert those rings into rings with His portrait in it. So they, if they had a ring which had a pearl, if they had a ring which had a say diamond or gold, Swami would change it and there would be Swami's photo in that ring, and when people would see that, you know, then they know that Swami Himself has given them those rings. So that was something fantastic, and he thought, you know, he should also get a reward like that from Swami. And so he put all his savings and he made this big gold ring for himself, and he waited for the day when Swami would call him and Swami would, you know, ask for this gold ring and then convert it into a ring which would have Swami's picture in it. And so every time he went to Swami after he made this gold ring, he would try and show this ring, make it conspicuous. As he was folding his hands, he would tilt his hands. As he was taking namaskar, he would spread his fingers somehow to get Swami's attention. But you know, for 2 years Swami never noticed. So he suffered because Swami never would see that new ring. Swami never would ask for it. And then came a time when Swami asked him to give a speech in the Bukkapatnam school where Swami Himself studied in his childhood. And after that speech, which was a very good speech, Swami called him to the interview room in Puttaparthi, and then suddenly Swami saw that ring in his hand, and Swami said, "Oh, Kasturi, you have this ring." And immediately Kasturi removed that ring and put it in Swami's hand, and he was waiting for that miracle to happen. And Swami said, "Oh, you have a ring and you desire to have a big picture, isn't it, of Myself in that ring, so that you can tell the whole world that you are a big devotee, isn't it?" And then Swami took that ring and Swami started blowing on it once, twice, and Professor Kasturi was waiting expectantly. "It doesn't matter, Swami, whatever you may think of it, but you know, please give me that ring with your image in it." And Swami blew for the third time, and when he looked at Swami's hand, that ring now had just disappeared. And Professor Kasturi was absolutely crestfallen because he said, "Forget the ring, even his gold is gone now." He thought, "Oh my God, Swami, what did you do? I have put all my savings into that gold, making that gold ring. Forget giving me that ring, you took away all the gold." And Swami then said, "Kasturi, don't aspire to have me in the ring. Have me in your heart. Your heart is my home." And Professor Kasturi was so disappointed. I mean, he got the message, but it was such a disappointing experience. And when Swami saw Professor Kasturi's face, Swami was so filled with compassion. Swami said, "I know you want your ring back, no? Don't worry." And then Swami waved his hand, and out came now a ring. And this was a 9-gemmed beauty. This was, in each row of this ring, there were 3 gems. So this was the Navaratna ring. And Swami put this into his finger and Swami said, "Now you will not announce me as yours even before I acknowledge you as mine. If I give a ring with my portrait, then you want to go and show the whole world that you are a big devotee. Now this is another gemmed ring. People believe that if you wear the Navaratna ring, the Navagraha ring, then you will be saved from all the Navagrahas. But Swami said, with time you will realize that it is my Anugraha that saves you from the sinister designs of the 9 planets. It is not the 9-gemmed ring. But anyway, till you have that realization, keep this ring, Swami says, and Swami puts that Navaratna ring on his finger. So that was quite an experience for Professor Kasturi. And when we receive, we enjoy, but we realize that all these enjoyments are so short-lived, isn't it? The happiness that we get when we receive something, when we ask something and we get that, it is so temporary, isn't it? As we grow older, you realize that perhaps there is more joy in giving. When you become an older brother or an older sister or a mother or a father, now perhaps the joy of giving is little more lasting than the joy of receiving, isn't it? Buying that dream gadget for your son or daughter gives perhaps more joy than buying something for yourself. Or giving that dream vacation to your brother or sister fills you with perhaps more happiness, a happiness that is more enduring than doing something for yourself. Now I give and I'm happy. I enjoy. Initially, I receive and I'm happy and I enjoy. But now I give and I'm happy and I enjoy. In fact, with time, we realize that, you know, this giving happens not only to our near and dear ones, and slowly as we experience this happiness, in fact, it expands beyond our near and dear ones to the family, to our near society also, isn't it? And that's how you have such fantastic philanthropies that we see in today's world. In India, if you look at the philanthropists, you have Mr. Nandan Nilkani and his wife Rohini Nilkani, the co-founders of Infosys, who have given away 10% of their current net worth. And Mrs. Rohini Nilkani, she says that wealth has a real responsibility attached to it. It has to be deployed for greater good. Otherwise, why would such wealth creation even be allowed? It is my responsibility to give it forward. That's what she feels. Rakesh Jhunjhunwala, another billionaire investor in India, he has pledged to give away 5,000 crores when he turns 60 in 2020. And he says that he is inspired by his philanthropist father. He says, when I see the kind of need there is in our society, I feel obliged to do my bit. And there are so many like this, isn't it? India has around 2% of the world's millionaires and 5% of the world's billionaires. And at the same time, it is also home to the highest population of undernourished in the world. So there are so many who feel that this contrast of excess wealth and destitution is such a huge motivating factor to give. Azim Premji, India's most charitable billionaire, he has donated more than 60,000 crores since 2001 in improving the education scenario in India. He works with 350,000 schools. It is 350,000 schools in over 15 states through the Azim Premji Foundation. So with time, I get so happy when I give. I give and I enjoy. I am happy. And the same thing happens even with God, isn't it? Doing something for God fills us with joy. Being part of the Christmas decorations, filling the ashram with colors and lights, makes us feel that we are doing something for the God, for the Lord. We are happy. We enjoy it. I make a small donation and I feel this, my hard-earned money, I have given it to Swami and it makes me happy. Suppose you have contributed towards making any of these institutions. Let's say you are part of the project where all the North Four block rooms were renovated. Every time you visit those rooms and you see the rooms now have AC and lifts and very clean, and you feel so happy that, you know, I was able to do something for the Lord. I was able to contribute to the ashram. So we enjoy these moments. I give and I'm happy, I enjoy. In fact, there's an interesting incident that comes to my mind at this point. There's one person who had contributed hugely for the construction of the super speciality hospital in Prashantinilam. And he was always very happy, very proud about it. So once he wanted to show this to all his friends. So one day he got a bunch of his friends from the US and they all came in a chartered flight, they landed in the Satyasai airport, and even before taking them to the Mandir for Bhagwan Darshan, this person thought, I must first show them the hospital. They should see what has happened here with my contribution. So he took them to the hospital, and in those days there used to be a board in the dome area of the hospital which had the list of all the donors who had contributed, the major contributors for the hospital, and his name was there in the top. So he first thought he will show them that board and give them a tour of the hospital and then bring them to the Mandir. So they drove straight to the hospital from the airport, and he took them to the dome area and he told them to look up. And when he saw up, he was taken in for a surprise, because somehow that board was not there. It was just flowers decorated beautifully there. And he had nothing to show to all his guests about what he had done for Swami. So he was completely stumped, and he came to Mandir later and he had darshan. And later on, the boy who narrated to me the story, he told me that the previous night, Swami had instructed that the board in the hospital should be pulled down and flowers be placed instead. And this person was thinking, I have given to Swami. A few years back, Swami had again gone to the super speciality hospital to donate blood. And there was this teacher who had also gone. This teacher who had gone to the super speciality hospital to donate blood, and he just heard this announcement that Swami is coming to the hospital. And so this teacher was very happy that Swami is coming to the hospital, but he didn't want to leave the blood bank because he thought that it is better he's there at the place where he's supposed to be. And he thought, in case Swami comes to the blood bank, then it's a nice opportunity for him to tell Swami that, you know, he had done this seva. And very to his, you know, happiness, Swami came inside the blood bank. Swami had with him some guests. So Swami is showing them the hospital, showing them the blood bank. And then Swami came to this boy and Swami said, hey boy, you are here. So and Swami told the guest that this boy, he's a lecturer in my institute. And Swami asked this boy, so did you give blood? And this boy said, yes Swami, I gave blood, Swami. And then Swami looked at this boy with a lot of love and concern, and then Swami asked him, oh, okay, did you give me? You did not give me, Swami said. And this boy thought, I mean, what is Swami saying? Swami just said that and Swami left. And it took him a lot of thinking later on to understand what Swami had actually asked him. And much later, he said he realized that what Swami was asking him is, did you give blood to the patient or did you give it to me? Did you do it for me? So, there is a stage where I give and I'm happy. But there will come a time, probably, where I cannot give, then I will again be unhappy, isn't it? Today I have resources, or today I have the chance to do something, so I give and I'm happy, I enjoy. Today I had the chance to perhaps give a poor boy some money, so I give and I'm happy, but tomorrow maybe I'm not in a position to give. And then I'm not happy. Then I'm not enjoying again. Today I have the chance to sing for Swami, and I'm happy because I feel I was able to give my voice, I was able to give my music to Swami. I'm able to offer my talent to Swami and I'm happy. But tomorrow I may not have that voice. Tomorrow maybe I'm not able to, suppose tomorrow I don't get a chance to sing and I'm unhappy. So there comes a time where I give and I'm happy, but there are times when I cannot give and I'm unhappy. There was this person, Mr. Raja Reddy, who had this chance to sing in the presence of Bhagwan for many years in the 1960s and 70s till the mid 80s. And He was a fantastic singer. In fact, Swami loved his singing so much that Swami would always ask him particular bhajans to sing, and in those days bhajans used to go on for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and each bhajan would be not just for 3 minutes, 4 minutes or 5 minutes, but for 15 minutes. Swami would ask him to just repeat the bhajan in different speeds, in different tunes, and Swami loved his singing, and he was also a personal servitor of Swami, and in those days there were no mics, his voice was so powerful, and Mr. Raja Reddy was also Swami's driver. He used to drive around Swami, and it was such a fantastic place to be in. And he sang in front of Swami for 25 years. And then came the 80s when suddenly boys started singing because the college started and Swami started giving chances to the boys to sing. And then there was a transition phase where the boys used to sing and Mr. Raja Reddy and the other singers of the earlier era also used to sing. And in those days also it was Raja Reddy who would start the bhajan session. So he would be always in meditation. He was someone who, if he was not with Swami, if he was sitting in the mandir, he would just be closing his eyes and he would be lost. And all the boys have seen it. Just before the bhajan starts, when Omkaram happens, he would just open his eyes, do the Omkaram, and then he would sing the Ganesh bhajan. No talking at all. And the Ganesh bhajan was always his. And Swami would come, and Swami would love his rendition. He start the bhajan and the bhajans would go on fantastically. And there came a time once in the mid-80s when Swami was inside the interview room, bhajans had not yet started, and Swami sent a message that Raja Reddy should not be singing that day. The mic should be taken off from him. And none of the boys knew how to communicate this to him. I mean, he was such a respectable figure. How would you tell him, sir, that you cannot sing? Every boy looked up to him as a legend. Everyone learnt the way as he was singing, because everyone knew that Swami loved his singing. How do you tell such a person that you cannot sing today? Who can tell such a person? So no one knew how to tell him, but this was Swami's instruction. Who can dare to take the mic away from him? But he was in meditation, so there was no way they could even tell him anything. So they just had to follow Swami's instructions. So they had taken the mic off from him, and Ganesh, and it was time for bhajans, and Omkaram happened, and no one actually needed to even tell Raja Reddy that he was not supposed to sing the Ganesh bhajan. He was in meditation and someone else sang the Ganesh bhajan, and it was all perfectly fine. No explanation needed, no questions, nothing. It was just like a normal bhajan session. And after the session, you know, everyone else was feeling so bad that, you know, Raja Reddy sir didn't sing that day. So someone went and told him, "We are very sorry that, you know, you didn't sing the bhajan today. We don't know what happened and all that." But Raja Reddy sir, he was saying, "What is the problem? If it is Swami's pleasure that someone else should sing, it is perfect. Why should we even think twice about it? It is Swami who gave me the chance to sing. Today Swami does not want me to sing. That is perfect. That is what is the best thing that could have happened. That is the best thing that could have ever happened in my life." And he was, "Why should I think that only I should sing? Why should we think that only we should sing? Anyone whom Swami wants should sing." And from that day, he would never ever sing again, because he felt that this is what Swami wants. If it is Swami's pleasure that someone else sings, that is how it should be. And he would only be in meditation, and he would be in lost in those waves and waves and waves of bliss, as he used to say. You'd just be happy just thinking of Swami and be lost in his thoughts. So there is a stage where I give and I'm happy, but the greater stage is not I give, but I give up I. It is not I give, it is give up I and I enjoy. First I give and I enjoy. Now I give up I and I enjoy. That is the beautiful stage we reach in our stages of enjoyment. In fact, there are so many beautiful bhajans that Mr. Raja Reddy sir used to sing. Maybe I'll just play for you one bhajan. It belongs to those times. Just a little bit of one bhajan, just to give you a flavor of how beautiful those bhajan sessions used to be. One of those bhajans of those earlier times, Raja Reddy times, and as I listen to this bhajan, I'm reminded of Swami's pet elephant, Sai Geeta. This bhajan says, Sai Baba, Geeta Sudha. In fact, that reminds me of Mr. Pedda Reddy, who was a caretaker of Sai Geeta in those times, and someone who for 20-25 years was fully engaged only in serving this pet elephant of Bhagwan, and also doing work in the planetarium, also serving in the canteen. And he was someone who never came for darshans even to the mandir, because he was so occupied doing the work. Everyone who used to do even a little bit of service, you know, you want something from Swami, you want a reward from Swami, you want acknowledgement from Swami. But Pedda Reddy is someone who never ever wanted anything from Swami. He was only dawn till dusk, working, working and working. I remember in 1986, during the Dasara celebration, Swami was giving clothes to all the staff members. So anyone who was working anywhere, anyone, you know, everyone wants that tag of being a staff, because this is one opportunity when Swami recognizes you, and then you can go forward and Swami would give you clothes from his own hands. And Swami was doing this distribution for 3 successive days. And but in all these days, somehow Pedda Reddy was so busy in his work that everyone went to mandir to collect from Swami's hands, but they really never went there. Finally, on the third day, he was in the Sai Geeta shed, serving Sai Geeta, and the warden of the hostel comes there and he says, "Pedda Reddy sir, where are you? Swami is calling you, please go to the mandir." And he goes to the mandir and Swami says, "Where were you, Pedda Reddy? I have been waiting and I have been looking for you for the last 3 days. Last 3 days I am searching for you." And then Swami gives him the clothes and Swami says, "I will never leave you. Don't worry." Swami gives him clothes, not only clothes, Swami gives him money. And Swami says, "I will never leave you. He comes after you. Give up I and God's eyes will be on you. God's eyes will be after you." In fact, for Pedda Reddy, it was always that feeling that I have to do for Swami. And he never ever aspired for anything from Swami. In fact, the only 2-piece clothes that Swami used to give, he used to never buy anything else. He used to say that is enough for 12 months. And just 6 months before Swami left his mortal coil, Swami one day asked the secretary of the ashram to ask Pedda Reddy to bring his passbook. And Pedda Reddy thought, "Oh my God, he's asking for my passbook, which means Swami is going to give me money." Next morning he went and told Swami, "Please Swami, I don't want money. I don't need anything, Swami." In fact, all that money that Swami had given him over the years, he had preserved everything. And during 70th birthday, he collected all this money that Swami had given him and whatever little money his brother used to send him. And he accumulated everything and he gave it to Swami. It was 70,000 rupees. He gave it to Swami. And Swami said, "I will never accept anything from you, Pedda Reddy. Go and keep it back in your bank." And on March 25th, 2011, that was the last darshan that the avatar gave before he decided to disappear physically from our midst. That day, Pedda Reddy had come to the mandir with Satya Geeta, the other new elephant after the demise of Sai Geeta, and when Swami saw him, Swami first went to him before he came for darshan, and Swami told Pedda Reddy, "Hey, take namaskar, touch my feet." And then as he prostrated at his feet, Swami told him, this is the last. And Pedda Reddy had no clue what Swami went. He thought probably Swami didn't want me to get this little elephant anymore to the mandir, or maybe Swami wants that I should not come like this for darshans before, you know, to his residence for darshan. Maybe this is the last time he's giving me this special darshan. He had no idea what that meant, and only when everything unfolded in April 2011 did it strike him what that meant when Swami said, this is the last. And the last darshan, Swami's eyes were on him. "Give up the eye and the Lord's eyes will be on you." And he says that today when I look at the Samadhi, Pedda Reddy sir says, "Yes, I miss Swami, I miss being with Sai Geeta, but I have no regrets. I have achieved my target. I had the chance to serve and I have served wholeheartedly with absolute sincerity, commitment and love. What else do I need? Everything else is temporary. I have experienced what has to be experienced in full measure." I asked him, "Don't you feel that you miss something in life? Because you have spent 4 decades in Prashantalim. You never stepped out of this hamlet. You never even went beyond the Sai Geeta shed on one side and beyond the canteen on another side. Don't you think you miss so much of the world?" And he says, "What are you saying? I have gained the greatest blessing anyone can aspire. See how peaceful I am. I am so much in peace. I don't have any desire only. I have no obligations. I have no worries. I have no wants. Last year I donated all my savings to the trust. everything that Swami had given him, he had accumulated, and it came out to 1,20,000. He just gave everything to the trust. And he says, I never felt I lacked anything, because this Prashanti Nilayam is my father's property. This is all mine. I live like a king here. He has given me food. He has given me clothes. He has given me such a beautiful place to stay. He has given me peace. I have worked happily for him, for his property. What else can I aspire for? And I told, sir, you are such a colossus of inspiration for all of us. And he said, no. I am a nobody, sir. I am nobody. Who will care and bother about me? It is only Swami. It is only His love. That is all. That is all. In fact, not many know that from 1985 till 2005, every day Swami used to send food for him from his own kitchen. Give up the eye, and the Lord's eyes will be always on you. Sometime back, I read this interesting story of a king who was taking a stroll on the terrace, and by chance the king's sight fell on the bazaar, and he saw that there was this saint roaming around, and the saint was walking in such a blissful state, as though, you know, he did not belong to this world at all. And that king was a man of good culture. The king thought the saint is something exceptional, something extraordinary, and so he instructed his men to go and find that saint and told that saint to just be there, because the king wanted to see him. So on receiving the king's command, you know, the king's men immediately, they readied the chariot of the king, and they took the king to that place where the saint was. And the king apologized to the saint for stopping him in the middle of the marketplace, but he told, I have one question, can I please ask? So the saint said, yes, what is your question? And the king says, how quickly can God be realized? And the saint says, oh king, you already know the answer. The king says, what do you mean? How is it that I know the answer? And the saint then went on and explained, look king, if in my mind I had thought of trying to meet you, then there would have been many difficulties along the way. It would have taken me so long. I don't know if it would have ever been possible for a normal person like me to actually meet you. But because in your mind you thought of meeting me, you were able to do it so quickly. You just thought about it and it just happened. Everything fell into place. Your men started working and it just happened. And he says, similarly, O king, if it comes in God's mind to meet you, then there will be no delay. It will just happen. But the king said, but how can it happen? How can that happen that I come in God's mind, that the thought come in God's mind to meet me? Then the saint replies, how did you get the thought to meet me? How did this thought come to you now that you should meet me? And the king said, well, when I saw you, that you were so blissful, you were so totally oblivious to everything around. You are walking in this noisy street. There is so much happening around. There are so many valuable things around. There are so many men, attractive women. You see so many things, anything that can capture your attention. But you are totally in bliss. Nothing affects you. That's why I thought I should meet you. You're something special. And then the saint said, O king, in the same way, when you live in the world, but if your mind is completely immersed in God, always ecstatic about Him, if you're all the time leading a life of complete happiness and contentment, oblivious to all the worldly attractions and attachments, then the thought will come in God's mind to meet you. And when that happens, He will just come running to see you. That is all that is required to meet God. Nothing more, nothing less. Give up the eye, and God's eyes will come searching for you. In fact, when I think about this, I can only think again about Professor Kasturi. There was one occasion when Professor Kasturi was sitting in his room, and this was in his old age, and he was so childlike. One day he was just playing with a doll. It was a bear doll. There was a kettle drum attached to the waist of the doll, and Professor Kasturi was very happy looking at the doll playing the drums, and suddenly someone came from behind and just snapped, pushed that plaything away from Professor Kasturi's hands, and so the toy toppled and he fell down on its back. But that bear, that toy bear, was still relentlessly beating the drum. So it was down, but it was not out. And then, startled, Kasturi got up and he looked, who's this person, you know, who came and pushed that whole thing down? And he saw that it was Swami, and Swami looked at him and Swami said, "Hey, Kasturi, see, this is what I will do to you, what I did to the doll." Professor Kasturi looked at that vanquished but valiantly playing baby bear and he said, "Swami, if you do this to me, I too am going to do exactly the same thing. I will still announce the world about you. I will still beat the drum of your glory. I will still sing your glory, the glory of the splendorous Sai." And those who know Professor Kasturi even a little know that there were so many problems in his life. His wife was paralyzed for 11 years. She predeceased him. He lost his elder son at the prime of his adulthood. When he was 85, he lost his another son who was 60. His daughter's marital life was beset with so many problems. But never ever he went to Swami with his problems. Anyone who has seen Kasturi can only think of his smiling face, his jovial nature. And once when Padma Kasturi, his daughter, told him, "How can you be like this? How you don't feel like complaining anything to Swami?" And he says, "Why should I even tell anything to Swami? Whatever Swami does is perfect. For whomever he does anything, I consider them as my own. Why should I feel that he should do only something for me or my family? Whatever he does for anyone, he does it for me. Give up the I and you become one with the universal I. And when you are one with that universal I, you are all the time only in joy, only in bliss. That is the journey. We start with I receive and I enjoy. Then I give and I enjoy. Then give up the I and I enjoy. And then I am I and I enjoy." Like Professor Kasturi, when he passed away, Swami said, "There's no need even to do any rites, any rituals, because he has completely merged in me." There are four purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, but Swami says there is a fifth purushartha, which is parama prema. Because even in this first four purusharthas, you know, you are all the time aspiring something. Even liberation is something that you aspire for, it's a desire. But in the last purushartha, parama prema, in love, you don't desire, you only exist for God's pleasure. That is how the gopikas were. And that is the reason why whenever the mention of Radha or Gopikas happened, Swami's eyes used to be always overwhelmed with tears. That is the stage that we need to go to, where I just become one in joy with the Lord. I enjoy, I live in joy all the moment. Let me leave you with a beautiful bhajan of Radha again from the yesteryears. And after this, Brothers Prem and Arvind will take over for afternoon satsang. Thank you so much for being with me through this beautiful journey of joy.
Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.